B-Pod Studios.
Let's find out all about the Eagles' latest injuries. News by a guy that does a great job covering this team. He's always in there poking. And he's poking around, and he's poking at Doug. He is from the Inquirer, Inquirer.com, on the Comcast Business Hotline, Jeff McClain. What do you say, Jeff?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good, brother. All right, so we got lots for you, man, as you can well imagine. Let's start off because it's the sexy thing, Jalen Ramsey. Any way they would be interested in Jalen Ramsey?
I mean, I would be interested just in, you know, in light of the way the Eagles cornerbacks have played, what you look at there right now. You know, it's probably going to take a first rounder to get him. And I'm not really sure if that's something that Howie Roseman would be willing to part with. He wasn't willing to go there for Minka Fitzgerald. So that may tell you something. I don't know if, I don't know how you guys evaluate Minka versus Jalen in terms of worth, but, you know, that is something to consider when you look at, whether the Eagles would be in play for him.
Yeah, the difference though is that one is more of a safety hybrid, and the other one is a flat out
lockdown
corner. And I need a lockdown corner, and I think that's a huge issue. You saw the tape. Guys were running free, right? I mean, down the field, they're just running free. I thought Jim Schwartz did a great game plan. He's look, we're gonna do whatever we can. You know, we know that Ryan doesn't want to be blitzed. We're going to bring an array of blitzes, zone blitz, zero blitz. And I thought it was great. I think they need help back there.
Yeah, I mean, Jim blitzed about, I think, 12 of 46 drops, which is a little higher percentage than he normally does. And for the most part, it worked. It was just that last one that they got burned on. You know, I don't know if he's doing it because he looks at the defensive line and feels like they need help, or if that was just kind of a game thing. And Matt Ryan, you feel like you can exploit the fact that he really isn't very mobile back there, and they do a lot of play action. You also need the help to the secondary, as you mentioned. I felt like Ronald Darby was the main problem on Sunday. I don't think I'm the only person who felt that way. I thought Rasul and Sidney Jones fared better. And have looked okay so far. I don't know. I don't really understand the rotation right now. I'm just not a fan of it. And even Jim said last week that ideally you wouldn't have the rotation. I mean, if you're saying that you're rotating because you have to work Ronald Darby back in, then why is he playing more snaps than Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones?
Yeah.
Especially when it's clear that he's not the Ronald Darby we saw, at least in terms of speed, before the injury. So again, yeah, cornerback, as I said, as we spoke about weeks ago, would be my number one chief concern heading into the season, and while I think the defensive line certainly is up there, not in comparison. I mean, the Eagles have a lot of talent up there, but because they place so much emphasis on what the defensive line needs to do, I feel like it's been an issue so far, and now you have two injuries to key spots at defensive tackle. How are you going to do it? And one way certainly would be to roll the dice and deal and try and get Jalen Ramsey in here.
All right, so a question about Darby. So everything I know about him, he's better as a press corner. And when you're blitzing and you're bringing pressures, how come he's back? How come he's off the ball so much?
Right now, that's because right now he doesn't trust his speed. I mean, Jim doesn't tell his corners a lot, say, okay, you press here, you play off here. And he can't do that every single play. It's up to them
right
a lot of times. So that's on Ronald.
Have you talked to him about that?
Darby, no. I didn't get him after the game. I was focused on some other things. I think he did speak to a few reporters briefly. We have no access. Actually, the locker room's open today, so we'll see if Ronald.
Yeah, I'd be curious. If you don't mind, Jeff, I'm just curious about, you know, the depth off the ball with the corners. Because, you know, I mean, that's one of the issues. Like, when you're bringing pressures, you want to be, you know what's going to happen, man. That's why you need to play press.
Yeah, I'd rather have a guy there on you. Yeah, I mean, that's an issue. And that's, and again, I think it goes back to confidence. If you look at someone like Andrew Sandejo, why does he play so far back when he's in,
he's afraid. He's afraid to get beat.
He's afraid to get beat because he lacks, certain amount of speed to be able to cover ground.
No doubt. Hey, we're talking with Jeff McClain, inquire.com on the Comcast Business Hotline. Jeff, let's talk about the beginning of this game and three players, Goddard didn't even get on the field. But then Alshon Jeffrey, I think, played six snaps, and Deshaun either 11 or 16 snaps. I can't remember which, but nonetheless, not available for this game in essence. How did this kind of happen? Was this lingering coming into the game? Kind of take me through a timeline here on when these guys became unavailable and what led to it.
Goddard was during the warm-up. Actually, I think Doug mentioned yesterday that he came in with something. So something must have happened during practice this week. Again, I haven't spoken to Goddard yet. And he must have aggravated because he was out there during warm-ups, but then he didn't play in the game, although he was suited up. It was probably just in case of emergency. So that seems like that was something that was lingering. Alshon, although he played six snaps, there was video, I think, that John Clark of NBC Sports had tweeted out where you could see Alshon talking to one of the members of the Eagles training staff during warm-ups and certainly concerned. It seemed like something was awry in terms of how he felt. So my guess is that something happened then, and then that's why you only, okay, I'll try and go, and then after a certain period, he's like, I can't do it. That's my assumption there. And then Deshaun, I think it seems like it was more likely that it happened during the course of the game. But we're still talking about three early injuries. And unless Dallas did occur sometime back here at the NovaCare Complex.
Is there something with that turf that exacerbated these injuries? Because we saw some other guys go down in the game as well.
Yeah, I don't know.
Pointed to that?
I mean, I've had messengers ask me about the turf. I don't know. There was so many other people that didn't have issues. And, you know, the Falcons, I haven't heard anything about, you know, I haven't heard anything from other teams about playing on that turf.
Yeah. Well, the roof was open, the roof was closed, you know, it's...
I mean, maybe. There are a lot of factors that, you know, can play a role in why you have those types of injuries. I mean, I think I would look more towards just the Eagles' overall issues with soft tissue injuries over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
That would be more of what I would question. Why aren't... And again, Doug had kind of, and so did Howie, had kind of patted themselves in the back about training camp and how they haven't had as many soft tissue injuries as they had previously. And while that was true, it was a short period of time. And now all of a sudden they seem to have reared their ugly heads again.
Yeah. I mean, that's tough. You know, I mean, it's tough, Jeff, you know, this game, and that was a tough game. Guys were getting hitting, you know, that was a big part of it. So, I mean, here's the real issue too, going forward, is that you got the Lions, and then the short week with Green Bay, and when you're not, you know, when you're not at all, I mean, this offense is concerned without, you know, you take off your starting two receivers, and it gets bleak.
Gets thin quick.
Well, we saw that in the first half. I mean, that was a major contributor to Carson Wentz and the offensive struggles. You saw, you know, miscommunications. You saw guys not, you know, one instance, J.J. Arcega, Whiteside not looking back in time for a pass that Carson thought would be a back shoulder. I'm sure he gave him a signal and he probably missed it.
Yeah.
So you saw that early on. And then you just talked about the level of skill with Alshon and Deshaun versus those two other guys. So, yeah. That's an issue. And as you mentioned, we're talking about two games here in the next, that's a five-day period. If Alshon and Deshaun can go for Sunday, it's very hard to believe that, I wouldn't say very hard, but, you know, you assume that getting ready for a game and so many days rest will be just as hard as well. And then do you want to, like, put them in a situation where they do injury and then you totally take them out for the next game and then, so we'll see how it plays out here.
Anything with let's talk about Carson for a second. And when he takes the shot, the rib shot, man, that thing scares you because you know all along kept thinking, because he played played like you got the turtle shot in the second half. And then you wondered about, because I agree with you. You asked the question to Peterson during the press conference. You said, well, you're talking about practice. And you asked about Carson. And he gave me the, yeah. But I agree with you. Like, I'm trying to think, he took a blast. Is he all right to go back to practice? Like, is there any kind of lingering thing with him? Because that was a shot.
Right. And, you know, you saw him kind of grabbing his rib area as he came off the field on TV. And then he said after the game that he got the wind knocked out of him, which I'm sure certainly was the case. But was it anything more? And certainly there was speculation there. With ribs, I don't know what the protocol is in terms of what the team can reveal to us. If he misses practice on Wednesday, it's got to be for some reason. So they're going to have to say what it is, even if he's limited. I don't know how they can get around that without getting it out there that he has some sort of rib issue, which is why I was asking if he'd be able to practice Wednesday. Now, Carson was with the trainers for a period. I saw him walk into the training room at Mercedes-Benz Stadium after the game, which happens sometimes for small injuries, and it happens for more significant ones. So I don't want to say anything that is definitive. I don't know. And he admitted that he'll be sore, but they're all sore on Mondays. But if he's got cracked ribs, he can play through it, but it's going to affect him. But again, we don't know that for certain. And let's see what happens here over the next several days.
All right, Jeff, last one. When you looked at this game, with expectations comes a lot of pressure. And after this game, you're in that locker room. I kind of get your first hand perspective. It seemed like after the loss, there was a lot of, maybe for lack of a better term, emotion coming out of guys like Zach Ertz, Carson Wentz. I mean, it almost looked like he welled up. Did you get a sense there was a lot of emotion in that locker room after the game?
I didn't see Carson well.
You saw it on TV, out on the field.
I don't know. That probably was more pain than anything, is my guess.
Yeah, I mean,
someone had said that Zach had welled up after the game or was crying.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. My feeling in the locker room was, that was a hard-fought loss. It was a physical game. So I think that's typically what happens after losses. I think this team does believe it's good, so to lose any time, it's
going to hurt.
It's going to take something out of you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know if I would go that far.
Okay.
The locker room was down, but I actually thought Carson was pretty, I'm going to say chipper after the game,
right.
But I thought
stoic.
He was pretty up about, the performance. And I think, Doug, the same thing. I think he feels good about this team. That's one thing I wrote myself is that the one thing with Doug is that the team is always resilient. It's always been resilient. It's never stopped playing hard until the final whistle. You'd never see that. And that's why I look at this loss in the big picture of things. They're not going to win all 16 games. They're not going to win the remaining 14 games, all 14 remaining games. They're going to lose games. This is not a good loss. I'm not one of those, character wins or. But that being said, we saw 2 years ago that they went 1-1 and lost a tough one, and it just felt similar to that. The locker room felt very similar to when they lost to the Chiefs 2 years ago on the road.
Yeah,
no, I'm not
saying this is a Super Bowl winning team.
No, I
don't
totally
know.
See
I
that.
Still have yet to see that.
I mean, they said what you want. Carson in that second half played his heart out. Like it was, it was amazing too. Jeff hit that 4th-and-4. Like quite frankly, I give it to Doug because I would have taken the points and been one possession behind. I would have been down 8. And I give him credit, man, because he's got balls of steel. I take the field goal. Anyway, they score. He's got that, Carson, it's like this relief. Then he comes back, orchestrates a second drive. And then if Aguilar holds one of that ball, which was a dime, it's a touchdown. They win, and Carson is Captain Clutch now.
I mean, I was the Carson Wentz deadline column writing guy, and it was tough to write that story when you guys send it at the buzzer. And I was kind of, writing a certain, if they won type of story where it's like,
been there, done that, brother.
Legend, And this is legendary. This is something they'll be talking about for ages to come because, yeah. as you said, he did strap them on his back. That was kind of an epic performance. That being said, I mean, yeah, he was pretty bad in the first half.
Yeah, he was. How much is the game plan? Because that script has not been good. Now, I don't, you know, again, when you lose, when you're going to go 12 heavy, 12 personnel heavy, and you lose your key component, that's going to screw up your game plan. But how much does Reich versus Groh and when it comes to Doug's game scripts? Because I know Reich helped out a lot with Doug's game
scripts. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, again, I don't know if this is the best week to hammer on the slow starts because of what happened. Their game plan just got blown up. But I still wrote about it myself and I still asked Doug specifically about it because again, it is an issue. It wasn't just because of that. I mean, this has been something that's been a trend since last season, the last 18 games. In 12 of those games, they haven't scored a point and that's the worst in the NFL. So that's their total is the worst in the NFL. 41 points, 2.3 points per game, per quarter, over those 18 games. So there's something here and I don't know what it is. I do feel like the scripts sometimes are just too, they put Carson too much in a box, let's say. And you have to, I think every time you go up there in the line, the quarterback needs to be able to check out of place.
Yeah.
And to see based upon what they see, the pre-snap reading of the defense. And sometimes maybe with those scripted plays, you don't have that luxury.
No.
And that's why they're not working. As for the Groh, yeah, that's a big part of his job is the game planning, that they do. I mean, Doug can only do so much in terms of game planning, because he's got all these other responsibilities.
Yeah, Andy was great at it, at the script. He loved the script. I mean, I remember used to wait. I mean, couldn't wait to start on his game script.
Right. So, I mean, again, that is one common denominator, one difference when you look at how good they were starting in 2017 versus, you know, since then is that, you know, Mike Groh is the offensive coordinator and Frank Reich isn't. Doug ultimately bears responsibility. He's the play caller. He's the offensive coordinator in essence, and he's the head coach. So too does Mike Groh. So, I think it's a combination of things. They're trying to obviously figure out if there is some sort of running theme as to why it's not happening. It's tough to figure it out.
Speaking of running themes, so we're talking to Jeff McClain, Inquirer.com. I don't understand why Jordan Howard wasn't a big part of that script. And you know, they went heavy with Miles Sanders, and I think the matchup dictated to go the other route, to go Jordan Howard.
I've been surprised by the amount of usage with Sanders versus Howard. I thought they would ease him in a little more. Look, I mean, they really like him and you could see why. And I didn't think they were going to bury him this first half of the season. I just felt like maybe by week 8, then you'd see this percentage of Sanders versus Howard. And it's been the opposite of that. I'm not a big Howard guy. I didn't like that trade. I think he's fine. You know, he is what he is on first and second down. He runs hard. He'll get you those types of yards. I didn't think he was a good schematic fit for them. And I just don't think that he's, when you look at that type of back, he isn't Jay Ajayi or LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I don't think he's perfect for their, what they want to run and what they want to do. However, against the Falcons, and I'll tell you about Miles Sanders. There's a couple things. Like, he was ISO. He had his safety. He was one-on-one. And, you know, a great back makes a miss. He didn't. He also, on that one run, it was right up the middle, and it was right by the goal line. That's a touchdown for most great backs. And he got caught, like, inside the two when I thought he should have been in the end zone.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, those are all fair. I didn't think that, again, Miles Sanders played one season basically in college, which is a good thing in terms of the position.
And pounding, yeah.
Right, you don't want, I just felt like that meant that he needed some time. He's got a lot to learn and how to run at this. It's not, it is a pretty easy position to come in and contribute right away. I get that. That we've seen that over the years at running back. But you still have a lot on your plate when you're that young and you're that new to playing at this level. And he's had, you know, I went to Pittsburgh and did a kind of like a, origin story on Miles. And then went to Penn State too and did a whole story there too on him. And one of the common themes with him was that when he first started playing at both levels, he had a tendency to run, use his athletic ability each time and run outside, bump it outside.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that already here at the NFL level.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, he figured it out eventually at both levels and became what he became. So, let's give him time.
But I'm not telling you. Yeah. I'm not making a sweeping judgment.
Let's get back to your original question. Yeah, I mean, I still feel like I don't understand. I mean, even just both games. I mean, I know you're talking specifically with the Falcons. I just thought we'd see a little more Jordan Howard, and maybe we will next week.
Yeah, well, that remains to be seen. Hey, Jeff, man, we appreciate it. We'll be reading you on theinquirer.com.
Thanks, brother.
All right, guys, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Here is Jeff McLean, Comcast Business Hotline.